AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Free agency is on the horizon. The Cardinals have some shopping to do. I'm joined by St. Louis Post-Dispatch production editor, one of the guys who helps us put out the sports section every day, Nathan Mills. We're going to talk about what direction the Cardinals could go and if there's any lessons from this World Series between the Dodgers and the Blue Jays about what it takes to be successful in October and how far away the Cardinals feel from it. I mean, are they August away from it? Are they July? Or are they January, or in reality, are they November of the previous year away from October? All of that in a brand new best podcast in baseball. Cue the music. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the best podcast in baseball, brought to you by Closet by Design of St. Louis. I'm St. Louis Post-Dispatch baseball writer Derek Gould, joined this week by Nathan Mills, one of the editors at the Post-Dispatch and new to the podcast. You'll hear him more regularly here. You'll see him in the video, and you probably already know him from the Blues podcast. Nathan, thank you very much for taking this time.
Thanks for having me, Derek. Let me join your podcast here. I'm so excited.
Are you copy editing as we talk? Are you multitasking?
I'm not today, but I probably will be other days. It just depends on the day you catch me. Yeah.
No, because that's part of the job now, right? It's like what plate to spin at what
multitasking.
Time.
See, yes. I'm really good about spinning both plates, but then combining them. So whatever you and I are saying, I'm going to start editing into stories.
Yeah. Sounds good. So I really hope that at some point in time during our conversation, you stop me and you say that that was bad verb noun agreement. You know, just like nail me when
I'm totally not doing that.
Like, no, please do.
Okay. If it comes out and it happens, but I don't want people coming after me, like being the grammar nerd and,
No, it's okay. It's okay. I give you full pardon. You're able to do
all
it.
Right. If you have a bad one, I'll call you out on it.
Okay. That sounds good. That sounds
good. But I talk like hillbilly people anyway. That's who I come from.
As we're talking and, a dog joins in the background.
Oh yeah, I have Great Danes, and I think my wife ordered something on Amazon, and they just dropped it off, and my large Great Dane is very displeased.
Very good. Well, we can get your dog's opinion. What's the dog's name?
Mac. Her name's Mac.
Mac. Okay, we could get Mac's opinion of this if they and also if I make a grammar, I fully expect Mac to let me know. So
she will do that. She's very vocal, as you can tell.
Perfect. Perfect. We're recording this right as Major League Baseball gets ready for Game 6 of the World Series. The Toronto Blue Jays, the host of Game 6 there in Toronto, they have two games to win one, and they'll be the World Series champions. The Dodgers must win both on the road to win back-to-back championships. It's been a long time. Since 1975, 76, since a National League team won back-to-back World Series. And I'll give you this quick little tangent, if you permit me, Nathan. Looking at this going, like, why have there been so few National League teams to win back-to-back World Series? Like, it's just crazy how few National League teams win World Series in back-to-back years. And I realize the answer is right there in front of me. It's because the Yankees have won so many, and the Yankees are in the American League. It's just math. There are only so many championships to go around. The Yankees have, a monopoly on a whole generation of them, especially when it comes to interrupting potential back-to-back runs. And so it's pretty simple. But the Dodgers are trying to do what no team since the Big Red Machine has done in the National League. They're trying to do what no team in Major League Baseball since the Yankees have done. And of course, one of the more recent teams to win back-to-back championships, all of that was to get to the fact that it was the Blue Jays in the 1990s. So they're trying for their first championship in 32 years. Do you have a feel for how this is going to go? Do you have a hope for how this goes, Nathan?
I think we all have a hope, right? Like, I don't know if there's anybody who's not a Dodgers fan who's rooting for the Dodgers. You know what I mean? I think that the Rogers Center is going to be rocking. It's going to be difficult for the Dodgers to do it. If any team can do it, it's them. But it's going to be difficult for the Dodgers to do it. I really hope the Blue Jays can take one of these two. And I would love to see it for multiple reasons. One, to get Canada a title after all this time. You know, Toronto and the Expos having the runs that they had and never really getting to do that, and then finally getting here. And also, just I would love to see Vladdy Jr. get one after his dad played so long and didn't. You know, I saw a stat the other day that Vlad's already got more hits and fewer plate appearances in the postseason than his dad ever got the
chance. Oh, really? Interesting.
Which is crazy. You know, that's a Hall of Fame career, and this young, his son's already surpassed him in that way. So I think it would be nice for him to be able to, you know, kind of finish his dad's story a little bit too.
The Cardinals can always say they were there when, with 19-year-old Vladimir Guerrero Jr., who the Toronto Blue Jays had all set to go to AA, but because they were hosting the Cardinals for an exhibition series in Montreal, they brought their young prospect third baseman with them for those games. And he entered both of them. He played in both of them late. And in one of them, he hit a home run for the only run of the game. It was a remarkable game. And here's this 19-year-old who steps up, hits the home run in a 1-0 game. And the whole place just shook. I was reminded of it. I'm reminded of it a lot whenever I see Vladimir Guerrero Jr. play, because from a Cardinals perspective, that series back then in 2018 was more notable for Jordan Hicks finally leaping onto the opening day roster when he hadn't been with the team at all during spring training until the final day. But he had such a dominant showing and had such wicked, powerful stuff that they were like, we can't go north without this guy. And the Cardinals were about to open in New York with Carlos Martinez as the opening day starter. So that's how far back it goes. But it was a remarkable day there in Montreal just to be back at Olympic Stadium, see the fans there, know all that they went through, which is captured in the new documentary there on Netflix too. But also to see like what felt like a moment, right? Like this 19-year-old with a famous name, wearing his father's number for a Canadian team in Canada, in the place where his father became a star. It was really cool.
One of my favorite things about baseball is how many moments there are like that, not just fathers and sons, but young guys, you know, taking off. Like, yes, Savage has in this World Series. Well, really this season, but in this World Series. Old guys who have been in the minors for 10 years, finally getting their shot and homering in their first game. Like, there's no sport that has stories like baseball, I think. And that, you know, Vlad hitting that home run in Montreal against the Cardinals is exactly the kind of story that I love about baseball.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
There's usually some kind of theme that emerges from the World Series. I've been fortunate enough to go cover numerous World Series, and I always try to go, and if the Cardinals aren't in it, try to look through the World Series or the postseason in general for what hints there are of how the Cardinals could get back there and get through there. And really, to be candid, it was a lot about writing, like, how do the Cardinals get through October to another championship? Obviously, the conversation has changed quite a bit around the Cardinals to now it's like, how do they get close to it? And when do they start thinking like they're going to get closer to October? But looking at this World Series, I'm having a hard time. Maybe you can help, but finding a larger truth other than spend a lot of money and have stars. There might be something there with the pitching.
Yeah. You know, I think the pitching's part of it, you know, but like we talked about at the beginning, I think a lot of people are rooting for the Blue Jays as if they're some massive underdog, but they're still top five payroll, right? They've got their own $500 million man, right?
Yeah.
You know, the only real difference is that right now that I can see is that their pitching's been a little more electric, you know, and right, the hot story, right, is Jess Savage, but he's not the only one. There have been other pitchers who have looked great for them throughout this playoff run. So, you know, I don't know. I don't see a difference. A lot of times we get a, you know, a David versus Goliath, or a power team, a power hitting team versus a power pitching team. And, you know, you have these kind of clashes of philosophies. This very much feels like the same philosophy, just, you know, butting heads. I mean, after all, they were both finalists for Ohtani, right?
Right.
He's been a topic of conversation this series simply because he was courted so hard by the Blue Jays.
And Sasaki. You know, and they're both finalists for Roky Sasaki, who is going to be an exceptional starter in this league and has been a savior for the Dodgers bullpen when they can get to him. You know, I think one of the contrasts of this World Series that kind of speaks to what's happened to the Dodgers is they're capable of going cold. I mean, they just have been all year. They've been that kind of team where they have a whole lot of talent. They have a whole lot of money, which allows them to create a whole lot of depth and a whole lot of roster churn. And they have remarkable players like Freddie Freeman and Mookie Betts, and of course Shohei Ohtani, and Yamamoto pitching. So they have this galaxy of stars there, but still they're capable of going ice cold offensively. Whereas, you know, if you'll permit me somewhat of a pun, the Blue Jays are firewalled against such slumps because of their ability to make contact. When the Blue Jays came into St. Louis to play the Cardinals in the days leading up and then definitely throughout that series talked about what a bad matchup that was for them, and it played out. But one of the points that they made was the Cardinals were a contact staff that invited a lot of contact, and the Blue Jays are a lineup that makes a lot of hard contact, and those two things don't really work out too well for a pitching staff in that spot. And they did not work out at all for the Cardinals in that spot. And in a way, that number of balls in play, that number of hard hit balls in play, certainly the turf there in Toronto, a lot of it goes into it. It kind of protects them a little bit against the long slumps, because, like, look at the World Series, Nathan. You have the situation where the Blue Jays get runners on base in the first inning. They don't often score in the first inning, but all of a sudden that starter's already faced 5-6 batters. Yep. They're that much closer to a third time through. They're that much closer to what the Dodgers want to avoid. They're that much higher into their pitch count. They're all stress pitches at this point. You know, and so the ball in play, you know, and ball gets through here. Don't produce a run, but sure does tenderize the pitching staff for later.
Yeah, well, you look at some of the results that they've had from some of those games, and listen to this. Dodgers pitchers, specifically Blake Snell. Snell was like, oh, they, you know, they got lucky, luck plays.
That's the point.
Or whatever he said. Yeah, but you kind of make your own luck to some degree, right, when you're putting that many balls in play. And so what they're doing is they're giving themselves more chances, you know, to hit, you know. And I don't mean hit the ball, like hit a jackpot, you know, hit a lottery. And that's exactly what they did against Snell. You know, they put up 9 hits in that game. They had 6 runs, not all of them against Snell, obviously. You know, whereas the Dodgers had, I think, 4 hits that game. You know, I mean, so they're just out swinging them, out hitting them.
Right. Yeah, they find seams for it. And I wonder if maybe there's some kind of lesson tucked in there for, you know, these are obviously two high-priced, free-spending teams. Well, not free spending, but they're able to throw their pocketbook around quite a bit, both of these teams. And, you know, there was a story by, you know, up there by Sport in Toronto Sportsnet about how this was a World Series for the Blue Jays, not just to show that they can beat the Dodgers, but also to show that they can join the Dodgers. And I think that should have sent shivers through the American League East. Like, if that's how they want to run the Blue Jays, that's just another Titan, you know, to deal with. From the Cardinals' perspective, it's a Titan in the other league, at least. But it is, for Major League Baseball, just another, you know, tycoon club. But if there's some kind of, you know, some kind of, I guess, foothold, some kind of, you know, toehold is probably a better way to put it, that the Cardinals can hold on to, what, you know, maybe it is that power's great, but power's expensive. And maybe there is a world where contact can exist. There's the other one that you mentioned in Trey Yosevich that, you know, hey, let talent play, let an outlier pitch. If it zooms to the majors, get it to the majors and see what happens. That certainly could be part of the Cardinals' future here in the coming years with Liam Doyle or Tanner Franklin, two guys they chose. They have great pitches. You know, why wait till they've got 1,000 innings in the minors? You know, if they can help, move them up. Let Liam Doyle move as fast as fastball will take him.
Yeah, I think there's a growing movement in baseball to do more of that. And certainly the league has incentivized it, I guess, is maybe the right way to say that.
You know,
offering some bonuses by bringing these guys up early and having them really make an impact. And so yeah, I think there's going to be a lot more of that. I think you're going to see, you know, to your point, power is great, but it's expensive. I do think you're going to see the Cardinals more in the future look for some power bats that they can grow. They've not had a lot of success with that in the last several years, or really ever. I don't remember the last, before since Pujols, I don't remember the last pure like power hitter the Cardinals, you know, drafted, developed, and brought to the majors.
Yeah, I mean, Matt Adams a little bit fits that. He certainly was a slugger, but no, like the staying power kind of guy. Matt Carpenter became a power factor.
That's the thing. That's the thing that the Blue Jays have I think, and don't get me wrong, I think the Blue Jays have a handful of things that the Cardinals are missing, but when it comes to contact, you know, approach, they've got a couple of guys who can step up there. And once you've had three straight singles, they've got a couple of guys who can step up there and clear the bases. And the Cardinals don't have that.
And they can bop. Yeah. It's a long way from the grip it and rip it Cito Gaston Blue Jays, though. They were fun, but
it's
come a long way from there.
Yeah. It's like the Whitey ball teams right of the 80s. It's, you know, they were fun, but it has come a long way.
Yeah. What have you enjoyed about the World Series?
Stories, man. It's the stories. Vlad Jr. has been great. I'll tell you what I've loved. What's been really fun is Ohtani kind of embracing the villain role a little bit.
Okay, that's turning heel. Turning heel.
Yeah. Oh, I love the wrestling term. That's so good. Turning heel. Yeah, that's good. I like that. I like that a lot. He's, you know, he's talked about the chance. The Blue Jays manager asked him to give the hat back, and he said no, which I thought was hilarious. You know, I mean, that's so great. I like that kind of stuff. I think is good for baseball. It's good for fans, you know, and it's fun. And at the end of the day, I think that's what it's supposed to be about, you know, is having a good time.
And then how much of the 18 inning game did you watch?
Oh, not hardly any.
You can be honest.
I think I watched maybe an inning and a half. The Blues.
Oh, wow.
So I watched the Blues that night. So I had that first. And then that game ran until like 2 o'clock in the morning, something like that. I'm old, man. I can't do that anymore. I can't do
I watched it all, man. I watched it all.
You're tougher man than I.
It was great how it got there. There was a sag then, as there usually is.
Yeah.
There's something about extra innings that I always find fascinating. They're super exciting. Then they get there. And then during the extra innings, they either because teams kind of get tired or the adrenaline wears out a little bit, or you're into just kind of like, how do they get by pitching wise? Just all these, the sheer advantage that the home team has maybe adds to it, but it loses a little bit of that tension that was there for the first, you know, 9, 10, 11 innings. But then it was back and a great finish, or entertaining finish, not a great finish, because as you said, there's a lot of folks rooting against that finish. But I thought it was a compelling baseball game. You know, it wasn't like riveting inning by inning, but it was a good baseball game.
I felt that way about most of these games in this series, even the ones that have been, you know, four or five run games. They've been good, entertaining games, even if they weren't necessarily competitive.
True. So once the World Series is over, the next day, trades can start happening. The next day, players become free agent. All of that is automatic. Teams will start making roster moves pretty quickly. A free agent can sign with a team 5 days on the fifth day after the end of the World Series. So we're all within a week of this now. They can begin signing. They can sign as of 4 p.m. St. Louis time on that fifth day after the final day of the World Series. They rarely do. Baseball doesn't have the mad dash blitz that the other sports do. Nathan, from a fan perspective, from an editor perspective, I probably know your answer, but from a fan perspective, do you wish baseball did have that mad dash for a free agency?
Yeah, I don't know if mad dash is exactly the way I would say it. I mean, certainly there would be some excitement if you had four or five big stars signing right at the beginning there, right? But the thing that kills me about baseball is the guys waiting to sign until January, February, you mm-hmm. know, even early March coming into spring training. It's not just guys who are fringe roster guys. It's sometimes it's stars, you know, and part of that's the rules of the game and how, you know, roster building and all that. But man, as a fan, is it excruciating to wait through some of those.
Part of it is Boris too. I mean, Bryce Harper signed in the middle of, you know, March. I mean, he was the biggest name along with Manny Machado in that class. And while the Cardinals jumped at the chance to trade for Paul Goldschmidt before Thanksgiving, you know, the market for the biggest stars didn't happen until later on, with Bryce Harper signing with the Phillies in March. And, you know, part of that is to kind of squeeze and squeeze and squeeze and squeeze to get the best offer. You know, the Cardinals have in the past, you think about when they entered their pitching offseason a few years ago, though, gosh, that feels like eons ago at this point.
Yeah.
They moved fast to sign Lynn and Gibson and Sonny Gray. And a lot of that came from, I remember that general manager's meeting pretty vividly there. It was in Phoenix. It was very clear that the Cardinals were trying to make a play for Sonny Gray, one of the rivals offering, or one of the rivals in pursuit of Sonny Gray was the Arizona Diamondbacks, just located just down the street from where the GM meetings were. But that was also where they, you know, they had a Zoom call at one point in time with Aaron Nola during those GM meetings, or around the same time. They had the deals in place pretty quickly for Gibson and Lance Lynn, who both had reasons for wanting to pitch in St. Louis and working fast. But by Thanksgiving, the Cardinals had their rotation. They had their pitching, and they had the rest of the winter for kind of fine-tuning. I think we're all really intrigued at what the new front office, what its pace will be. Reputation is a little bit more deliberate than that. Agents tell me that, you know, there's a little bit less of a rush and more of a deliberate pace with Haim. But again, you know, there's also this part that never really seen Haim Bloom with as much control of the wheel as he's got at this point in time. You know, in Tampa Bay, he wasn't the guy leading the way. He was part of a group leading the way. In Boston, he obviously had a pretty strong governor there from ownership as to, and a very distinct goal by ownership, as we all know from trading Mookie Betts, what that goal was. So here, I mean, it sure seems like he's got, you know, one hand on the wheel and another on the gear shift, I guess, as I date myself with a manual car. But it seems like he has more control over the direction ahead. So I think there's a lot of curiosity about what the pace will be.
Yeah, I mean, I think the curiosity makes sense. I do get the impression, just, you know, based on his time in Boston like you said, in Tampa, he was part of a group rather than kind of running it himself. But I do get the impression it's going to be a slower off season. And I think, you know, obviously the Cardinals aren't swinging for the fences. They're not bringing in a multi-time MVP or anything like that. It's going to be, you know, not necessarily depth moves, but filling the holes that they have with affordable options that are out there. You know, in terms of excitement for seeing what he does, you know, certainly that first off season, you know, you get some answers and that's nice. Right. I think a lot of fans are going to want that. And I like Haim Bloom a lot and I always have. And so I think a lot of fans are going to be really happy in a couple of years with what he's done. But certainly this first off season might feel a little underwhelming simply because of where the Cardinals are at in their, what is it, a rebuild now? I don't know if we're fully calling it a rebuild yet, or if it's a.
Haim has avoided that word.
So there's so many R words that we throw around. So.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, no, I like it. I probably pollute my articles with rewords. It's a very, 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 and I'm telling an editor this, so the gig is up now. I'll never get to it again. But it's a very easy way to do alliteration, is to use,
busted.
You know, rejuvenate, reanimate, reinvigorate. Oh my gosh. Rewind, rebuild.
And lucky even, for you, brother. I'm super corny and love alliteration, so you can read anything you want, bud.
Yeah, no, it's a great way to go. I you know, they've abandoned the reset and gone for transition. They've now gone through the transition, and John Mozeliak tried to impose the word rebuild on them, and then they chose not to use it. In fact, even in some ways, pushing back against it by saying we're not going to concede anything. That was the line. It was like, we're not going to concede that this is a rebuild. You know, they certainly need to rejuvenate, re-excite, reanimate is my favorite word, the fan base. They just, you know, there's been a whole lot of regurgitation of what they need to do.
Brother, you're nailing these Halloween words on how to reanimate, like zombies, regurgitation. This is good wordplay here.
I can do it for days. We can have a whole podcast of it.
That's good stuff.
No, not to repeat myself, but you know, we're gonna see a lot more action this off season than wording is, you know, they have tried to rephrase what they're trying to redo, but it's about time for them there just to be action.
It's about time for this joke to retire.
That's right. Gotcha. Well done. Okay. Yeah, well done. Where would your priorities be on this? You know, you're sitting there, you're looking at the Cardinals roster, you know, the circumstance that they have chosen to be in. What would be some of your priorities? The open field, man, you can talk about player acquisition. You can talk about infrastructure. You can talk about moving, payroll. What are your priorities?
You know, honestly, I know payroll gets a lot of slack from fans, but I don't think payroll is the problem. A lot of it is development. The Cardinals have started moving that way. They've got a lot of new programs, new staff, new equipment. I mean, you know, they're starting to fill out the development program in a way that is not caught up with, but catching up with the rest of the league, right? So I think they're going that route. I think if I were the Cardinals, my very first priority would be getting the on-field product to a point that's not so abysmal the last 2 months of the year that fans are not coming to games. I mean, I understand that you're not you're not aiming for a World Series right now, even if you're not conceding anything, right? But you know, when you've got 17,000 fans in a stadium that holds twice that much, you've got a problem. So I think you need to find a little excitement on the field. You've got a couple of guys like that and like your Mason Wins, right? But having a couple of starting pitchers who bring that kind of excitement, I think would be great. You know, you can't go out there and get the top of the top guys. Although, you know, I'm going to put this out there and people on social media will go nuts, right, if they hear it. But a one-year deal for Max Scherzer, if he decides to pitch one more year, would be great. You know, mm-hmm. Not realistic, right? But maybe fun. But yeah, I think that's probably where I would start is probably pitching, but specifically finding some excitement for the MLB on the field product. Maybe it's Weatherholt. We already have it.
What's that? Oh, Weatherholt. Yeah, I mean, strong spring. He'll be a starting infielder for the team. Right. Position to be determined. You know, I want to take two things that you said there and kind of separate them. You know, I took a look in the weekly newsletter and then it posted online as well, is a look at like five starters, none of whom are going to, you know, generate much pulse or generate a whole lot of excitement. They're not going to be like moving season tickets, but they are kind of like the pitchers who would help them. One of them is in the postseason. Chris Bassitt would be a great bonus for this team.
I love Chris Bassitt. Yeah.
It's not likely to happen because of how well he's pitching now. But gosh, a month ago, you'd be like, man, that'd be a guy that the Cardinals could really kind of make a bid for. Not going to happen now. There'll be a lot of probably big spenders who go after him. He's 37, but he'll get a multi-year deal and he'll get to choose to go straight to a contender. But that type of guy, if they could find the guy who is about to be Chris Bassitt, that'd be super helpful for this team.
It's even so
if he's 5 years, 7 years younger.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that because I think you mentioned the next Chris Bassett in your article, or article. I hate that phrasing in your story. I don't know why I said that way. I think
I don't
you
mind it.
mentioned.
I like
Yeah, I
article.
don't
Come
know.
on.
It feels very. I don't know. It feels very. I don't know. It feels like I don't know what I'm talking about. But anyway, you know,
Yeah.
one of those one of the guys that you mentioned in here was oh my goodness, Adrian Hauser. I almost said Adrian Morjon. Adrian Hauser, and man, Adrian Hauser's good. He can throw 95. He's can get ground balls, but he can throw a little bit, you know, get a little bit of strikeouts. This is a guy who can go regularly 6 innings for you, which is something the Cardinals need, even though the bullpen has been pretty good the last
Yeah.
couple of years.
Yeah.
So how if you could get two or three Hausers, I would be ecstatic with that if I
Well,
were
you'd be a
the
really good team if you have three of them, I'm
Oh
assuming.
yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
You know, but I think that type of guy is what they should be looking at. And they need a couple of them, but I, you know, obviously a couple of Housers is not gonna happen. Be nice though.
Yeah, I mean you might have to go for one and then try to find the other on a bit of a lottery ticket. And I tried to look at that. You know, you got Nick Martinez, who's a swing guy. You got Ryan Yarborough, who's been a reliever but was a starter back when he was with Bloom. Lefty could add, you know, he's going to help in some ways. Or you go with an Anthony Kay, who, you know, has had success overseas, and you kind of go for that kind of move. So I tried to look at in this list of five different traits that at least have some overlap, but are directions the Cardinals could go. Go look at a guy coming back from overseas in K.
Yeah.
Go look at a guy coming from overseas. Look at a guy who's been a swingman for a winning team, but wants to assert himself as a starter, a Nick Martinez, for example. You know, he was a swingman for a playoff team in Cincinnati, and may if he wants a chance to start, I had a veteran pitcher tell me that it was really interesting, that I found really interesting, and it makes sense. But I was glad he kind of articulated it in the sense that if you want a chance to show that you can be a starter in the league, you want a team that is going to let you start and
Yeah.
figure it out. And if you're an older pitcher or you're in your 30s or you're on a short-term deal, maybe it's not best to go to be like, say, a Yankee and
Right.
figure it out because they won't have much patience for giving you the starts. You'll be DFA'd and you're on your way and then you're bouncing around a little bit. But you want a team that'll commit to you and go, all right, you know, we'll go through the rocky time a little bit because, you know, we're in a different phase, we're not contending, the pressure's a little bit different. And then if it works out, it works out for both of us because you can go
Right.
cash in, but we can also flip you for some prospects. I think the Cardinals are in that spot. You know, for year after year after year, they were the team trading for that guy. Now they're the team who can look at trading that guy. And there's going to be some options out there in this free agent market where they could go get that. It would be an investment kind of move, both in money, but also in time.
Yeah, I think, and I think they're going to look at, you can probably expect them to look at a couple of those guys. I mean, it's, you know, how many they bring in, I could even begin to guess, but I bet you that
Well,
there'll
but I
be,
don't know yet either, so it's okay.
yeah, I guess that's true. I mean, but you know, they're not going to play around with like the sales and the CeCe's
No.
and guys like that.
No.
You know, a Zach
Or
Little
Dustin May.
maybe.
Oh, Zach Little's a
Dustin
great
May.
one.
Yeah, Zach Little's a
Yeah.
great call. You know,
I
I
looked a
don't think
lot
they'll.
at him because of the innings. He logs innings.
Yeah, a little would be great. I would love to see like a Zach Eflin type, maybe.
Yeah,
Although
Zach
I
Eflin
feel.
has ties to Heim. He's another of
Yep.
the Toronto
And
chapter.
it's funny,
I'm
I
sorry,
hadn't put
the
the.
Tampa Bay chapter, my bad.
I hadn't put together the connection until you mentioned it between the card. Well, I shouldn't say the Cardinals, I guess, between Bloom and Yarbrough. Which that makes all the sense in the world now that you've connected that dot for me. So that would make a lot of sense too, as the type that they can bring in. A Tyler Mahle type might be
Yeah,
good.
yeah, yeah, yeah. Where, what's your
Giolito maybe.
feel on Walker Buehler and Dustin May specifically? Two
I
guys who
love
coming back
Dustin
from
May.
injury have
Yeah, I
the Dodger tie.
love Dustin May. I you know and but I think Bueller's probably cooked. I probably wouldn't take the chance on him. I think somebody's going to probably pay him more money, I think, to take that chance on him, and the Cardinals probably should. It's not that I don't think he's worth taking a chance on. I just think he's probably going to end up being more expensive than than that chance is worth. I don't know if that's the right way to say that, but so I would probably not go that route myself. But May, I would be very interested in. I mean, he's still pretty young, isn't he? Like 29, 30?
He is. Yeah, 30. Yeah, with a power fastball, lots of juice in that fastball, and you know that plays. A couple elbow surgeries, and then of course the emergency throat surgery that he had. But he pitched healthy this past year, and now it's a matter of connecting with his previous success and really utilizing that power that he has. He's a guy who, he's going to have suitors. We'll see what opportunities there are, but if the Cardinals have an edge, it's, we can guarantee, they can go to him and go, we can guarantee starts. If the Cardinals have to add an edge, it's that they're going to say, we're going to have to put a few more dollars in to really, nudge that forward. Maybe they don't.
Don't forget, his hair will match the uniforms, which I think is great.
Correct.
And he has one of the best nicknames in baseball, Ginger Guard.
The what now?
You've never heard him called that? It's like Cinder Guard, but he's Ginger Guard.
Okay. All right. No. I dig it. I dig it. It sounds like a new Avenger.
Yeah, yeah. And Thor is an Avenger, so it works out.
Yeah. No, that works. That's pretty good. I dig it. All right. Yeah. I don't think we can get that in a headline, but I do know an editor that will try.
Yeah, well, it's worth a shot.
Yeah.
If they sign him, I might take a shot.
All right. No, I would wholeheartedly do that. From speaking of editing, and this is going to be a brilliant segue, the school of inverted pyramid, and you lead with the most important stuff first. I don't want to diminish the importance long term of what the Cardinals have done here recently, the moves they have made. But it certainly speaks to the fact that it's the last thing we'll talk about as to what front office moves and coaching moves move the needle. It can get some attention. There certainly are people that get very much hung up on who's coming back or who's coming in. And I get it. The Cardinals have expanded their staffs, both on the field staff side, but also in the front office. And while you have officials like Michael Gersh, the former general manager, and John Mozeliak's assistant general managers, Moises Rodriguez and Randy Flores, they're staying with the team, and in some ways getting new responsibilities, expanded responsibilities. But Heim is also getting them more help, and he's increasing the size of the front office, both to get more eyeballs, more evaluation, but also to get more tech and innovation and thinking in there. Really wants to expand the scouting and evaluation process at the pro level, which is now being folded under Randy Flores's group. He has overseen the amateur level. So again, more influence, more air there, but you can see how Han Bloom wants to grow that. On the major league field staff side, Nathan, they're going to hire an assistant coach for hitting. They're going to hire an assistant coach for pitching. They've had both of those spots. The people who were in those spots this past year are moving into strategist roles, which may not include travel, but will be around with the team and helping out in that regard. And then they're also looking at a director of hitting if they can find the right person for it. They want to fill that spot eventually. Whether they do it this winter is a lot of contingent on the candidates that they target for the job. At the end of it, they'll have added at least four director level positions. One is a senior director so far, but four director level positions to the front office. All of that is to run down the news, and we have all off season to go through the background of some of those folks that they've added. But what do you say? Those kind of moves aren't moving tickets. They're not going to invigorate. Notice I didn't say reinvigorate. They're not going to invigorate the fan base, but they can be substantive, right? So how should fans look at that? Like, how should fans look at this current kind of entry point to the off season where staffing is the news?
Yeah, I think it's easy to be frustrated by that. I think it's easy to feel stagnant with that, and especially considering the way last season went, you bring back as much of the staff you know, both in the dugout and in the front office as you have, it's easy for some fans to say, oh, this is going to be, here we go again, you know, repeat of last year. But to me, it's the same as building depth on the field, right? You don't want just nine guys who can start. You need depth behind those guys. And it's the same thing in your front office. I mean, it's not baseball, but you know, working in the newspaper business, we're being pulled in different directions all the time. It's a lot easier for me to do my primary job, and I can do it better when I'm not pulled in six different directions. So when I've got people who handle that stuff for me, then we're in good shape. And I think you're going to see that, you know, it might take some time, right, to establish the culture and to get kind of some of that stuff going. You don't just hire people and things are fixed overnight. But having that depth in the front office is going to pay dividends in the long run. And I think any fan who can't see that is short-sighted.
Yeah, I'm eager to see how new voices innovate evaluation. That'll be something that, you know, I'm eager to hear more about. You know, the one, like the new director, senior director of international scouting comes from a performance standpoint, has helped build out some of the science and, you know, development with the Houston Astros, comes in from that background, which I think could bring a really interesting like vantage point from scouting. So you have elements like that, that I think will show up in ways that lead to things that fans will celebrate if it goes well. But it's almost like the right now, this is like the butterfly wing that creates a storm halfway around the globe. That's basically what's going on, is, you know, and you may never meet the butterfly. You may never read about the butterfly, but some of these moves and the addition of sports staff, support staff and things that they're doing, it's very much the butterfly effect of baseball. And it's just a nature of where the Cardinals are that, you know, that new something new is there's just a hunger for something new, for a new direction, new voice, new name, new this, new something, that it gets a lot of attention.
Yeah. And I think, you know, to your point that the kind of wanting something new, I, with the exception of like a Weatherholt type, I think, probably ought to just pump the brakes on that for a little bit, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like this is the kind of thing that like it's going to take time, you know, and you know, you mentioned at the beginning of the podcast how far the Cardinals might be away from contenders, you know, being with up there with the Dodgers and Blue Jays. And it's far enough away that you're going to have to let this work for a little bit, you know. This is the kind of thing that hiring these guys, they have not even begun to really bring in players yet outside of, you know, Bloom being involved in some things and a couple of others. I don't want to single out Bloom, but being involved in a couple of things the past year and change. But otherwise, most of these guys are going to be new. And they've had no effect on anything whatsoever. You're going to have to give them time to actually move the needle.
So how far away in time terms, put it on a calendar, how far away are we from the Cardinals playing deep into October?
I'm gonna say they're in maybe late May, early June.
All right.
Starting to warm up a little bit. It's maybe a little stormy, you know.
All right. Yeah. They're in like a lamb, out like a lion.
Yeah.
I guess like that's April, but
yeah. Well, but listen, we're gonna have some storms, we're gonna have a little severe weather. It's not gonna be great. But then it's gonna be summertime, barbecues, right? So
all right.
It's going to be a rough few weeks, but then I think we're there.
All right.
Or at least on the path there.
That's probably a lot closer than it feels probably for a lot of folks.
I think that's probably true. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's funny. I never thought I would find myself being optimistic about the Cardinals. I'm quite the pessimist. So if that's optimistic, then I think we're in great shape.
It's amazing what 40 minutes of conversation with me will do to someone. It will make them.
Yeah. You turned me into an optimist, Eric.
There you go. That is Nathan Mills, production editor, one of the great editors at the Post-Dispatch that helps us kind of collect all the coverage and get it to you and make it better. Gives us direction. Certainly gives me direction as I can spin off the planet. So Nathan, the first time on Best Podcast in Baseball. Thank you so much. I go okay.
Yeah, I felt great. I loved it.
All right. Do
it again.
All right. We will do it again. You can find the Best Podcast in Baseball wherever you get your podcast. It's also available along with the constant Cardinals coverage at stltoday.com and in the pages of the Post Dispatch, the best podcast in baseball, is brought to you weekly by Closets by Design of St. Louis. For Nathan Mills, editor at the St. Louis Post Dispatch, I'm St. Louis Post Dispatch baseball writer Derek Gould. Talk to you soon. Enjoy the final hours of the World Series and the opening hours of free agency, which just aren't as exciting as it should be. It sounds like I'm, you know, it's like, hey, welcome to the staring contest. That's what it feels like every winter. Free agency opens. Hey, everybody, welcome to the staring contest.
We should open, we should do a, like a winter meetings episode and begin it with a staring contest. Don't say a word for 5-7 minutes, something like that. Just,
yeah, a performance art piece. I'm all for it.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll do really well in the newspaper business and the podcast world. Yeah.
I think so. I think we will change the game.